why don't we just take our seats? I wonder if we can all just stand. I want to just pray for us for a moment. Come on, let's all stand. We're going to ask God to do something for you in and through your life. Father God, as we just come around this time, I just thank you that your presence is here. I thank you that we don't have to invite you, that you have invited us. And so, Father, I just pray that you would speak to every single person in an individual matter so they can understand and perceive. Father, I just thank you that your word goes beyond tiredness, your word goes beyond confusion, your word goes beyond all the pressures of life and speaks clearly, decisively. So, Father, I thank you that every person today is going to hear the word of God. I thank you that every person will be blessed by the word of God, and every person will enjoy the fruit of the word of God. So, Father, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The reason I am excited about 2019 is because I know what I've been sowing in 2018. See, one of the concepts is people saying to me, you know, Ted, you seem to be talking up 2019. I'm not talking up 2019, sorry, is that I understand what I've been sowing. Is when you understand what you have sowed, then you start to rejoice. See, rejoicing comes not from something that doesn't happen. It's because when you put a seed into the ground, it's already there. So what we're doing in all of these sessions before 2019 is getting you ready to start to sow. So your job as a member of this church and also as a member of the body of Christ is to keep on sowing. Now, so 2019 is going to look different because I've done something just before it. When Jesus came and he started to speak, he didn't speak stories. What he did was he was teaching people. He says, the kingdom of God has come, repent. The word repent is don't feel sorry for what you've done. Change your mind how you have seen things. So the word repent means is if I look at Lewis one way, the way I repent, I have a look at him with new eyes, with new information. So Jesus comes onto the earth and he says this, you have seen how things work. You have seen this way. I need you to repent. Now, before you can repent, you need new data or information. You can't change your mind in blankness. Now, here's something that you already know. You can never have a blank mind. There isn't a time where you go zero. So husbands, you cannot say to your wife, my mind went blank. No, it went somewhere else. She's talking to you about going out. You're thinking about a new movie. She's thinking romantic movie. My mind goes blank. I want a movie that no one speaks and things blow up. So now when we start talking about the kingdom of God, God says, I want to show you how the kingdom works. Now watch this. When you understand how the kingdom works, you stop working. When you don't understand how the kingdom works, you work. So that's the picture of grace. What the kingdom of God, what Jesus was saying, this is how the kingdom of God operates. These are the laws of the kingdom. This is how the kingdom perpetuates itself. So what happens is this. That's why the writer of the book of Hebrews says, your work is to rest. The reason most of us are still working is because we don't understand how the kingdom of God works. The title of my message today is, you don't have to know how. You don't have to know how. The reason you don't have to know how, because every time God gives you a promise, it's always beyond your intellectual properties. It's out of your finance. It's out of the relationship, you know. So God, the reason we have to get this into our hearts is because I guarantee you, God is going to put dreams in your life. God's going to put so many things in your life, but you won't know how to make it happen. When God called Moses, he tried to make it happen. He says, I don't know how. What did he do when he didn't know how? He went into the desert. When you try to make God's kingdom work and it doesn't work, I'll guarantee you, you back off, you never go forward. When the disciples thought that Jesus had died, he's not going to rise again, what did they do? They went and hid. See, what happens is this, is when you see the promise of God, you go after it, and if it doesn't work, you back off. You back off. So now when we start talking about 2019, there are so many promises that were given to you in 2018, 17, 16, 15, 14, 13, 12, 11. I just want to let you know I'm really good at maths. 10. So now we're going to talk about the book of Mark. The reason I love the book of Mark, there's one word in the book of Mark that I really love immediately. I love Mark because he's impatient. I love him. He just says, immediately Jesus got up. Immediately he preached. Immediately he healed. Because he was living in the now. He understood something about God. To me, one of my favorite books that I read all the time is the book of Mark, is because this young man lived in the present. He knew something about God. So what does it tell me? The kingdom of God immediately works. Immediately. So what we have, when we start talking about 2019, God says, what are you going to sow? Now, I've got so much that I want to give you, but I won't give you all at once because it'll be overload and you'll choke. Don't choke. So the reason being is this. Now, watch this. The Bible, we're going to look at Mark chapter 4. We're just going to dissect that a little bit. But Mark chapter 4 does something amazing. The first thing you'll read, now you're going to read Mark chapter 4 this afternoon. Okay, three people are going to read Mark. Okay, Google it, right? Or you can get it where it reads to you, right? Google Bible. Now, the Bible says this. Now, first thing that you understand about the kingdom, everybody gets the same promises. There are no promises in the Word of God that are discriminatory. So what you understand something about the Bible? When you pick up God's Word, the Word of God doesn't discriminate. So the Word of God doesn't say this. What's your intellectual level? What's your IQ? Are you Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Catholic, or you don't know who you are? See, the Word of God is indiscriminate. So what does it mean? Is everybody, when it comes to the kingdom preaching, gets the same starting point. Now watch this. The Bible says in Mark chapter 4, the first part is that we go, the sower sows the seed. You know what's amazing with that? Think about God. Does God waste? I have come on. oh, I love this. You're kind of right, but you're also kind of wrong. Think about it. I always do think that Jesus is very careful. He says, why would you give a present to someone that's not going to use it? You don't do that, right? See, I would not give Jesse a Ferrari yet. Because I know what he's going to do with it. He just wants to be here. Now watch this. Now watch this. See, I always used to think that God says, well, this, you know, Lewis is really, really good. So so I'm going to give him a lot because I know he's going to use a lot because I don't want to waste. Then he comes to Ted and he goes, oh, Ted's sort of up and down a little bit like a yo-yo. So I'll only give him a little bit. Here's the problem with the kingdom. The kingdom of God gives everybody the same starting point. The Bible says the sower went out to sow. And there were three types of people. There were people that were so stony that the word never even got in, but they got the word. The Bible says that the sower comes in and he scatters the seed. He doesn't do this. Oh, stony ground. No, I'm not going to waste my seed. So what does he do? Scatters it. The Bible says, and then so there were three types of soil. There was the hard soil. There was the thorny soil. There was the good soil. See, I'm always thinking that Jesus is a great entrepreneur. He never wastes time, never wastes anything. I am not going to invest in something that isn't going to grow. So some people look at themselves and they demean themselves, they discourage themselves, they devaluate themselves, and they go, God's not going to give anything to me. So here you have a person without a God-gifted esteem, always looks at somebody prospering and think, they've got something better than I do. You can get excited if you want. I know that's what you're thinking. Come on. When you're driving a bomby car, somebody pulls up in a nice car, what do you think? Oh, Jesus really blessed them. Oh, God, think. You just think, oh, man, they got more than I do. Can I just say this? God knows how you think. You can't fool it out of God. God knows when I'm jealous of someone. Oh, God, please bless that person. God's going, Fabiani, stop lying. I'm going, oh, God, I am so thankful for their prosperity. God says, no, you're not. You see him down the road, you want to open the door and go. See, the thing is, what you understand about the kingdom of God is that God gives seed to every single person of the same value. And he says, I am going to give you everything in great full-on measure. I am not giving 5 to you, 10 to you, 10 to this. So God says the seed is the word of God. You know, there's a new science called DNA fingerprinting of seeds. DNA fingerprinting of seeds. What that is, the new science is that every seed has a fingerprint. And when you understand the fingerprint, you know what the seed is going to do. See, in the kingdom of God, isn't like the world today where we genetically alter seeds. So today you can buy a tomato seed, put it into the ground, you'll get tomatoes. But if you take the seeds out of those tomatoes and try to do it the next year, they won't grow. Because what they've done is they genetically modified it. It says if you want the seed, you've got to go to the source. The seed itself will not keep on going. That means the seed has a shelf life. Okay? So the Bible, so you've got this technology now that says fingerprinting the DNA of seeds. So when you know the seed, so here's the key. The DNA of the seed that you have been given cannot be altered. So God doesn't give inferior seeds. God doesn't go to one, I have got you, I'm really going to bless you, I'm not going to bless you. So what we learn, the first part of Mark chapter 4 is God is putting this into us. It says, the sower, he says, I am the sower. The seed is the word. Can I get you to do something? If you're reading with your iPad or your phone or the Bible, I want you to do something. If you're not, I want you to think about a scripture. What you're holding is seed that has the DNA to produce what the maker has said. The person next to you hasn't got any inferior seeds. You okay? See, what we've got to do is, I know for myself, I will always excuse my crop because of somebody else's crop because I'm thinking, oh, the reason I've got a good crop is because they've got a better seed than I do. That was my excuse. I know none of you are here like that. I know you are, but I'm going to keep you. I want you to just say that. I want you to still love me. See, right now, you are holding the same word, Peter, John, James. Let's go further. You're even carrying the same word as Jesus carried. You okay? See, the problem is, if you don't understand seed, the kingdom of God says the kingdom of God gives seeds. And if you don't understand seeds, you're going to be looking for something else. You're after an event, God gives you a seed. You're after prosperity, God gives you $10. And you go, well, what do I do with it? You look at your own life. See, can I just say this to you? Because some of you see yourself as seeds. If you don't think you're valuable, you don't sow it. I'm really preaching well today. See, the whole concept about the kingdom is this. God says, you entered the kingdom without work. I'm going to give you seeds, and the seeds will work without you. So when Jesus says there's three types of grounds, the one that went on the ground was so hard, he goes, man, as soon as it went in, it had no roots. What does that mean? Is that the seed did not find its place to send its roots out. It's called an atmosphere. And then you have seeds that start to grow and they choke the word. I want you to understand this. The intent of the seed is to grow, but with understanding the seeds, we limit the seed. The seed is not limited by God, it's limited by us. So you know what God says? Ted, I have given you full potential, but it's up to you how much of that potential do you want in your life. You know what I don't like about what I've just said? It kind of makes me kind of accountable. It's easy to say, well, if Jesus wants it, he can do it. Come on, agree with me. We're family. My family is loud. As my son has already so eloquently put that he's not going to borrow my car forever again. No, we'll talk later. So what does God do? Number one, I want you to understand this. He trusts everybody with the same seed because he says, when I created you, I gave you the potential so that you can have my seed. I want you to notice something. He doesn't give his seeds to animals. He never went to my cat. Hey, puss, yeah, have a seed. Mr. Elephant, yeah, you're big, have a seed. But they don't need it. But you know what? We were created to sow. So God says this, in the kingdom of God, you enter the kingdom broke. But when you go through the gates of the kingdom, you get a seed bag. It's called the word. So God says, I don't expect you to work. I expect you to put the seed in. So I want you to get this into your spirit, because I am so overexcited about this. Is that right now, I have got the same word that was given to Adam, to Eve, to Jacob, to Esau, to Moses, to Abraham, to Peter, and John. Now, just if you just let that kind of sink into your spirit, because I haven't got an inferior word. I used to get so ticked off at people that got good prophecies. I know none of you are like that, right? Just say, for instance, I go, Danielle, you are going to be the wealthiest woman in the world. I see Learjets. I see 380s with your name on it. I see airports named after you. I see a whole nation named Danielle. Women and men will sing your praise. There will be T-shirts named after you. I wish I was Danielle. And then if you're really good, I know Danielle. I will have a pastor T-shirt. Danielle is on my team. How many of you just got jealous? Oh, come on. Oh, no. We want to buy the T-shirt. We want to make it wealthy. But isn't it amazing that there are words in the Word of God that are actually bigger than what I've just said about Danielle? Thank you, Ted. You know, I used to go, why is that? You know why I felt like that? Because I never understood the seed that was in my hand. That's why you don't have to be jealous over anybody else. Because you've got the same seed. So when you see somebody that has got more than you, ask him this question: what did you do with the same seed that I have? Go to Sam. Go to Danielle and say, you and I received the same seed, but you're living in a different environment than we are. What have you done with your seed? To me, this is liberating. The reason it's liberating is because I'm not trying to get God to act on my behalf, because God has already acted on my behalf. And then he says, now, Ted, what will you do with what I have given you? And you know what the amazing thing is? Is that what was the thorns all about? So the one was had a hard heart. That means they're really quick, but there's no root. The second one was the Bible says stones choked it out. You know what really choked it out? I want you to see something that's amazing with this, with the choking out. The Bible says, are you all good with me? The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added to you. Correct? So therefore it means if I put a kingdom seed, that all the things that people want will be added to me. So what is the problem with the thorny ground? Are you understanding me here? So the Bible says this. We're living in a world where everybody wants to live in a nice house, drive a nice car, go on holidays, have nice friends. Okay, you don't want a nice house, you want to drive a boat, and you don't want friends. Come on, everybody's after that. Everybody's after to feel good about themselves. The Bible says there's nothing wrong with that. The problem is it the source where they come from. So God's not saying, I don't like things. God says, I created things for you to enjoy. The Bible even says it this way, I'm going to make you rich and add no sorrow. I used to think, what does that mean? I always do think the rich people were happy. Until I started working for them. And I'm going, how is it that you're not happy? Because you know what? The source. Because if people make you happy, then they are your source. And when they disappoint you, you go after them. Can I just give you a pastor's download? Sometimes the people will react negatively to you is because they had an expectation on you. And when you disappointed them, they had a go at you. But when your expectation is in God, it works like this. God will go through people to bless you. He will not use people to bless you. What God does, he says, Ted, I am your source. You need $10. Either $10 comes from the sky, or a person comes up and gives me $10. I say thank you to the person, but I know the source is not them. God, you went through them to get to me. So what happens in the thorny side is that God says, the seed that I have given you will give you these things, but you take your life and you go, I'm not going to depend on the seed, I'm going to depend on outward. And so what happens is this, is when I have stopped thinking that the seed is my source, something else is the source, I choke the seed. Notice, I don't destroy the seed because the seed is eternal. But what I do, I restrict the seed. That is why Paul says, stop resisting the grace of God. He goes, you can't destroy my grace, but what you can do is you can resist it. But then he does this. And he goes, then there is the third one. That got an open heart. What's an open heart? When you make God, everything that I have comes from you. It is when you go, I understand the seed. The seed, I am not the seed. The seed is in me. It is the seed that does it. That is why you can't take credit. Pride only comes in outside of the kingdom, never in the kingdom. Because it's the seed that heals me. This is what God sent his seed and healed them. Think, oh, wow, is this good? See, when he comes into it, he's saying it's the seed. Now, what I love about this, it is absolutely blowing my thinking, is that I used to think that God gave little bit, a lot, a lot. And God says this, said, repent. So what do I repent of? That I have the same seed as Apostle John, Apostle Peter. Wow. That's why we never elevate them. The reason we elevate Peter and all John in statues and all that, because we go, wow, he's got something that I don't. Don't you realize that when you get saved, you get elevated to their status? But where's my statue? You don't need one. Take a selfie. If you need a statue to make you feel good, you really do have a problem. Because most statues are naked. I mean, unless you want to be there all together and people taking pictures of you, well, more power to you. I did that. Sorry, now I've been watching this program about statues. I'm going to have to change. It's the Apple TV you gave me, so it's all your fault. Oh, by the way, that Apple telly and the Bose system is beautiful. I love it now. I kissed it the other night, so they told me off. But think about this, right? Right now, the same seed that was in the people you admire in the Word of God is in you. The Bible says, Peter, John was saying, we handle the Word. And Jesus didn't say this. What they were talking about, they said, we touch the Word. John actually got this amazing revelation, is when I touched Jesus, I was touching the Word. So when somebody else touched him, Jesus didn't have a stand-in. It wasn't a movie. You know, I touched another Jesus. No, we all touched the same. Now, you're okay, I'm looking at the time. I want to finish because it's Silva's birthday, so I really want to finish. She said, for my birthday, can you finish it? No, she didn't. She just said, maybe finish it 4. Now, so what we do is this. Now, I want you to understand something. And this picking up one seed will accelerate you to get more seeds. Picking up one seed and understanding it will accelerate you into more. I want you to look at this verse. It's verse 24. Be diligent to understand the meaning behind everything you hear, for as you do, more understanding will be given you. Have you noticed this, right? The Bible says, for those that have ears to hear, it says, if you believe, more will be added. Even if you don't, it will be taken away. So you know what the Word of God says? This is when I accept one seed, the natural progression is another seed. Works like this. Let's go reel back down to 101 discipleship. When I step into the kingdom and I do this, I accept that I am fully and utterly saved. God says, you accept it? What's the fruit of it? You get another seed. Therefore, if I am in Christ, there is no condemnation. Wow. Then I step in. I am seated at the right hand of God. Wow. I am in Christ. Wow. Christ is in me. Wow. There is no condemnation. Wow. You good? Think about this. If Christians would accept the seed of utter forgiveness. Think about another seed. The Bible says that he loves us unconditionally. So it's taken me a while. I figured out I cannot tick God off. I know how to tick Survey off. I know how to tick Jess off. I know how to tick you off. You know how to tick the person next to you off, correct? But you know what God says? There's nothing you can do to stop me loving you. I go, wow. You know what that does? When I understand that, I stop doing everything that I shouldn't be doing. It's because it's the love of God. So what we do is, the Bible says, to whom, you know, whoever receives it, more will be given. And then out of that more. So what happens is, that's why the Bible says, is when you walk with him, when I accept one truth, another truth, another truth, all of a sudden God says, when you accept one, it opens up another, opens up another, opens up another, open up. So what we need to do is just go right back. Some of us need to go back to the beginning. Yes, I am saved. Now listen to me carefully. God said you are saved not because you are working together, it's because he's working for you. Jesus never said this, you enter the kingdom of God, let's you and I have a partnership, Ted. I promise to save you if you do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. If you don't, get out. Why am I? Why can we be secure? He said that my salvation was in his hands. He never said your salvation, Ted, is in part in one hand, part in mine. What does that do? Well, Ted, but isn't it part of us? No. Because you know what? My whole faith is in him to save me, not in my own personal ability. Because it wasn't my seed that gave power to his seed. I didn't have a seed of salvation. He gave me the seed of salvation. So when the Bible comes up, I give you the seed. Then he says this. Now watch this. We're going to come into a close to it because we want to pray. He says, and he does it again. And he says, a farmer went out to sow, and he scattered. Now, when you read that through, underline the word scattered. Every time it does this, it never says this, that Jesus picks up one little seed and puts it in the ground and says, oh, that's going to be a really good seed. Oh, that's going to be a really good seed. He goes, he scatters it. I remember, I never understood this principle until I was preaching in the Kimberleys. And they said, Ted, it's your time to come and preach. That was after I had goanna. I needed prayer. We'll leave that one. Today I'm feeling so relaxed I can go anywhere. But I get to preach and there's maybe 10 to 20 people out in this open area. And I start preaching. God says to me, preach like there's thousands. So I'm preaching like that. I made an altar call. Only about 5 to 10 people came up to get saved. But then the following day, says Ted, the speakers, there was a community all around that could hear you. And there were people in houses that got saved and healed. Because, see, what we think is that Jesus is sitting there and says, I'm going to give you a seed. I'll skip you. He goes, I scatter it. And I remember asking the Lord one day, why? And he said this, when any time somebody is going to stand before Jesus, they will never be able to do this. Excuse me, Jesus, you gave Silva more seed than you did me. The reason I haven't got that, the reason I never experienced that, the reason I never lived that is because I didn't have the seed. You know what Papa's going to say to you? He says, I gave you the same seed. Take this another level. The Bible says we are of the seed of Abraham. He was the wealthiest man on earth. He was called a friend of God. You can love somebody but not be a friend. God says, Abraham was my friend. You know what that meant? Even though Sarah laughed at the promise, God says, your laughter cannot deter me because we're friends. It should boggle you. It should disturb you. In a good way. It's because, just think about this right now. You are at a precipice of having the full measure of the kingdom of God. And it's not in heaven. It's not in hell. It's in your mouth. 2019 is screaming out to you. And what he does, so you get this farmer, he does that. And guess what the Bible says? This is right at the end. He says, then, because he's a kingdom farmer, he goes to sleep. He doesn't watch over the word. This is found, it says, it's spreading on the ground. And the farmer makes this noise, right? He says this. He went to sleep, but he doesn't know how the seed works. Just let that think, friend. You have a vision, you have a goal, but you don't know how to make it. In the business world, you get training on how to write a business proposition. How you work out how much is it going to cost you. So if you're starting a restaurant, they'll tell you, do you have enough finance for 2 years of no profit? Because it's going to take you. So would you get a business plan? You get a financial plan. You got to know how it works. You cannot go to the bank and says, give me a loan for my business. And you go, yeah, great. How is it going to work? Don't know. Now, I want you to give me $5 million. I'm going to go to the Crown Casino, and I am going to have a kebab restaurant. Oh, you know, but I'm going to have lamb. Oh, wow. And all of a sudden, the bank manager's drooling, goes, oh, kebabs are my favorite. And then he says to you, how are you going to do that? What experience do you have? Have you worked in a restaurant before? Have you ever been a boss before? See, sometimes what happens is that the promises of God are so large, you back away because you don't know how to. You've got to get a better marriage. Oh, God, I'm going to read more books. Married couples here. I'll put my first hand up. I haven't read a marriage book that really, really helped me. The reason being because every time I read a marriage book, I was biased. It's her problem. Come on. You're looking at it. You buy a marriage book, what do? You underline the parts that the person you love needs to change. You all of a sudden think, the Holy Spirit is upon me. What does Silva need to know? Oh, red pen. Fold the page. Highlight it. Get a poster. See, can I just say this? Outside the world, you've got to know step one, step two, step three, step four, step five. In the kingdom, you are led by the Holy Spirit. You're not led by rules. Sul and I, we've been married since 1983. I call it a miracle. You know me, right? You go, yeah. She's an angel. Yeah, she is. But see, the whole thing is this, right? When you step into the kingdom, God doesn't give you the kingdom and gives you a rule book. He steps in the kingdom and gives you the Holy Spirit. And now listen to me carefully. The kingdom of God will never drive you. It will always lead you. There's a misinterpretation of Scripture that says when Jesus came out of the water, that the Holy Spirit drove him. The Spirit doesn't treat you like a horse. He doesn't treat you as an Australian shepherding do. See, in Australia, when we have so many sheep, how do we handle the sheep? We have dogs. What do the dogs do? They bite their hind legs to make them go in a certain direction. The Holy Spirit says, I am a shepherd. And a shepherd doesn't lead from behind. The shepherd doesn't lead from center. The shepherd leads from the front. And he says, you are to follow me. So what God says this, it is that the shepherd, the farmer, he goes and he does this. I don't know how the seed works. I don't understand the complexity of the DNA. I don't understand the chemistry that happens with the dirt, moisture, and sunlight. I don't understand the chemistry of times and seasons. I don't understand how a certain chemical, when it interacts with another chemical, produces life. I don't understand, but that's what grace is about. God says, I want to give you a promise that is beyond you. I don't understand how that's going to happen. It's okay. I don't understand how to start up a business. It's okay. Worship team, I've got 3 minutes. Quick, run. I've got to give Sylvia a present. You know what? The reason I'm saying that, I'll guarantee you, you start to move with the Holy Spirit, he's going to ask, he's going to give you things that you can't understand. I don't understand how my child can come back. I don't understand how that relationship can be done. I don't understand how to get out of the complexity of my mess. And God says, you don't have to. The Bible says this. Now watch, this is a picture of grace. He goes, the farmer goes, I don't understand, but as I am sleeping, the seed is working. As I am resting in the full assurance of what God has promised me, when I am resting, the seed is working. I want you to understand the power of this. Is the seed that the Father has given you has the power in it, not in you. So the power of the seed is not in you, it's in the seed. The Bible says all you got to do is believe. Think about Jairus, right? We talked a little bit about this before, but he said Jairus, his daughter, is sick. And he goes, Jesus can come. Jesus, will you come? So Jesus is walking with him. And then the daughter dies, and they send word to Jairus. He says, let Jesus alone. He doesn't need to come. Your daughter is dead. Come and weep. And then Jesus says this. I want you to understand this. Jairus doesn't know. Jairus never went to school. It says, this is how dead people live. This is what you got to do. He was taken into a situation where he goes, I don't know how. She's dead. The spirit has gone out of her. Her pulse is no longer. Her heart is no longer. There's no more breath. The temperature in her body is decreasing. She is no longer moving. She's lifeless. But he's with Jesus. And you would have think that here he is, but he says, Jairus, you came to get me. I'm not leaving. Only believe. No, but what do I have to do? No. Only believe. I got to pray more. Only believe. Can I just say this to you? There's no scripture that says if you pray more, your faith level goes up. There's no scripture that says if you praise more, okay? The reason I praise is because I believe. The reason I pray is because I believe. It's never reversal. So what is this to Jairus? Jairus, what's your vision? I want my baby back. What's on your heart? I want my baby back. How are you going to do it? I don't know. Can I just say to you, you know, one of the most amazing freedoms is actually going to Jesus and go, I don't know. How do you build a church? I don't know. How do you have a great marriage? Don't know. How do I get out of this mess? I know how I got in it. I can write a book. This is how I got in the mess. Chapter 2. I'm still in the mess. Chapter 3. I've made my home in the mess. Chapter 4. See, the thing is, that's what's so liberating about Jesus, right? He goes, can you bring your mess to me? I go, bring your mess to me. And he goes, how are we going to fix it? He says, the reason you bring your mess to Jesus is because you don't know how to. The reason I go, I don't know, because I don't know. I remember, you know, when Christine was born, my first one, I'm holding his baby, I don't know. You know what? We brought Christine home. Couldn't stop her from crying. So I rang up the maternity ward. And I said, you've given me the wrong baby. My baby does not cry. I did 1, 2, 3, and she's still crying. You did it. I don't know. Make it burp. No, burping's not rude. You know one of the things that I love about Mark 4, it says the farmer says, look, I don't know, but I've got faith that this seed The DNA will do what it said it will do. So therefore, I can rest. So in my rest, the seed grows. Can I just say, some of you need to, some of you are working too hard. Stop it. Do you realize that in the book of Hebrews, you know what our work is? To rest. It's because this, God, I believe in you. I believe in you. I believe in you. See, I don't believe buying silver present helps my relationship. What I believe helps my relationship is that Jesus is working on me. See what happens is this. Is some of us here, the fruit that we have is something that we produce. Great. But God says there's more. So he says, what does the farmer do? He goes, I don't know. But you know what the farmer does? And I'll give you some keys now. Okay, ready? Say keys. He goes out there. He doesn't see the full plant. He sees only a little leaf. And what does he do? He doesn't pull it out and go, what's wrong with the seed? So this is where faith comes in, right? You see a little leaf. What do? You start rejoicing. We see a little bit of growth. We should start rejoicing. God, I am believing for $100,000. God gives you $10 and you go, oh, too little, too late. God says this is when you ask for a prayer, you get a little bit. You start rejoicing. I remember listening to Bishop Jakes. He says they were doing this church and there was only a church of about 80 people and they were cleaning the seats, right? And then all of a sudden somebody found 25 cents. There was about 10 of them. They started rejoicing. I mean, if you would have walked in, you'd say, get crazy. Why are you rejoicing? We found 25 cents. Yay. Now they've got a budget of millions. But he says it this way. When did the millions start coming? The millions started coming when we found the 25 cents. You good? See, what happens with the farmer, he knows this, is the indicator of my promise that the seed is alive. It's a seed, and he grows, and he grows, and he grows, and he knows that it's going to have coming a time when he's going to reap. So as 2019 approaches, how about as a church and as individual, we plant some really big seeds that we don't know how they're going to happen? How about we plant a seed for our building for faith life? That's pretty good. Hey, how about we plant a seed to build an orphanage? Hey, how about we plant a seed to start a couple of churches? Ted, excuse me, there's about 100 people here. Why don't we have dreams for 100 people? My problem is... Yeah, valid question. And I go, well, I dream the seed is not dependent on how many people are in the building. The seed is dependent on the people that believe in the seed. How is it that Jesus had 25,000 people one day following and only 250 came in the upper room and God says, I tell you what, I'm going to start with the 250 and they're going to take the whole globe over. The reason you and I are here is because there were 250 people that planted a seed 2,000 years ago. Okay, let's start talking about church. Why don't we start talking about you? What about your personal life? What about that dream you had about starting a business? Hey, what about a dream that you wanted to take your wife and your children out for a proper holiday? Not a poverty pack holiday. You know what a poverty pack holiday is? Hey, honey, I bought a DVD of France. Hey, I bought some French cheese. And that's good. That's how you start dreaming, okay? But look, you with me? Can I just see? Here's the thing, isn't it? Just watch me carefully. I've actually gone over. Do you forgive me, baby? Say yes. or, see, when I'm in the kingdom, when I'm outside of the kingdom of God, I dream on my own seed. You know what my own seed is? How far did my dad go? How far did my mom go? How far did my rallies go? How far did the neighborhood that I went in go? But then, right, I step in to the kingdom. And God says, like he says to Abraham, look at the stars. Oh, I'm going to make you as numerous as the stars. He goes, but outside of the kingdom, I can't even produce one bebe. Not numerous. I haven't even got a doll. But he says, but now I'm in the kingdom. And I'm going to finish on this. I'm going to release something on you. I'm going to release kingdom dreaming upon us right now. Dreaming with God. If you want a book, what's his name? There's a great book called Dreaming with God by Bill Johnson. That's it. Thank you. We're working together as a team. I love it already. Why don't we start dreaming with God? Why don't we start dreaming where your dreams are not dependent upon your talent, upon your finance? Why don't we start dreaming with God's finance? Hey, why don't we start dreaming with his influence? Why don't we start dreaming and says, God, what does FLC, what does Faith Life Church look like with you as the center, not as what we think we are? See, to me, the revelation has been, is that God says, take and plant my seed. I will look out for my seed. You know what I love? The Bible says, I will look after my word so that it performs it. So to me, my faith is not in Ted. My faith is not in stuff. My faith is in Jesus' word. And I want to release something over your life. I want you to step up and say, God, I want to dream with you. God, this is as far as I can go with my education. This is as far as I can go with my finance. But I'm going to sow your seed. I'm going to sow your seed. And then I'm going to sit down and I'm just going to praise. I'm just going to relax and go, God, while I rest in you. What's rest? Is God, I believe. God, it's you. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you. Why don't we stand? Stand together with me at the moment. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I hold your seed. Father, you have given me so much. I haven't got inferior seeds. I haven't got seeds that do not multiply. You haven't given me seeds that are out of date. You haven't given me anything inferior. You have given me your word. Father, we just want to admit to you, we don't know how. But we don't have to know how. See, the rest in God comes from, I don't know how the seed is growing, but I believe that the seed is growing. I don't know how I'm going to get there, but I know that God will take me there. I don't know what I've got to do to change this relationship, but God, you're going to do it. All of a sudden, I can grow in grace. Church, let's stop striving and go, God, we believe. Like you said to Jairus, only believe. I am the seed of God. I am the word of God. You brought me into this situation. Jairus, just stay by my side. Can everybody just look at me for a second. Let's just go back to Jairus and Jesus. All Jairus had to do is walk with Jesus. You know what's amazing with that? Where was Jesus going? Jesus was going to his need. See, he's the picture. He's the picture. Jairus is here. He's going there. And Jesus isn't saying, hey, you know, we're going to go this way. He goes, Jairus, where am I going? You're coming to my house. Why? Because I'm the seed. So just walk with me. Don't run up in front and tell everybody, hey, Jesus is coming. Don't go behind me and clap for me. I want you to stay by my side, Jairus. Why? Because then you can hear me. Listen to me carefully. Why did he say come near me? Because he was in the reaching voice. Only believe. Only believe. You know what I believe? That every time a doubt came into Jairus' heart, Jesus would say, only believe. Only believe. People will say, going around, why is Jesus repeating himself? Because Satan is out there banging on him. He's going, that's not going to happen. You didn't pray enough. You didn't do this. You didn't do this. You didn't do this. But you know what? Every time somebody said something to Jairus, our Jesus goes, only believe. You didn't pray enough. Only believe. You didn't give enough. Only believe. You're not educated enough. Only believe. You know what happened by the time I got to the house? I love it. I love it. Comes up to Jairus. Jairus is going, I got no more unbelief. Why? Because every time you cancel it out, you cancel it out. And then there were people around the promise. They were weeping and crying. And Jesus says this, can you please remove the unbelief out of the room? Watch this now. Watch this carefully. This is what's going to happen to us. So he says, I want you to remove all these people that are weeping of what is lost. He removes them. But then when he removed them, he says, hey, guys of faith that only believe, I want you to go in the room. I want you to go in a room where everybody says it's impossible and watch me do the impossible. So let me show you something. As you are walking, open up your ears. Every time doubt comes along, only believe, only believe. Come to the place where things can't happen. And then Jesus says, let me do it. Now I want you to understand this. Jairus was not in charge. Jairus was a follower. Jairus didn't have a plan. He says, what's your plan? It's Jesus. Why are you going for such a big thing? Because of Jesus. Why are we going for another church? Because of Jesus. Why are we doing this? Because of Jesus. Why are we building? Because of Jesus. Why are we doing that? Because of Jesus. Why is your family going to be blessed? Because of Jesus. Why will you increase instead of decrease? Because of Jesus. Why will God open up business opportunities? Because of Jesus. Father, right now, I just release dreaming. 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 Dreaming with the Holy Spirit, with Him, the power of the Word, the power of His might, dreaming with God, dreaming. Father, I just release it. I release it. I release dreams of relationship. I release dreams of gifts and things. I release the dreaming of your family coming together. I release the dreaming of the people you love, their health coming back. I release the dreaming of what you have lost will be multiplied back to you. I release the dreaming. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus is here right now. The seed has been sown, so now just rest. The seed doesn't grow because of self-effort. The seed doesn't grow because how good we are. The seed grows because it's the seed. Our faith is in Jesus. Our faith is in His Word. Why don't you just lift up your hands with me and just let me bless you. Father, I just thank you today that today we're in the plan of God. Father, I just thank you today. I just release dreaming upon us. Father God, the dreaming that takes us beyond our measure. Father, I pray that you would lead us into amazing, wonderful things. We are not alone in this. God, we are not striving. God, we are resting that you will perform what you have said over us, over our lives, over our families. Father, I release that in Jesus' name. Why don't we give the Lord a clap?